Hi, this is Pastor Jack of Real Radio, and the times that we're living in right now are truly amazing times, and this upcoming election will be perhaps one of the most important in our lifetime. And so because of that, I want to give you the information and the tools that you'll need to vote your biblical worldview. That's right, Christian. We should be voting our biblical worldview, not our party, not our persuasions are not in any other form but our biblical worldview as a believer. And so I want to share with you a fantastic interview that took place with Dr. Wayne Grudem, a world-renowned theologian and best-selling author of Politics According to the Bible, a great book, and also Dinesh D'Souza, creator of the blockbuster documentary 2016, Obama's America. We've had the chance to interview both these men of God, and I think you'll find it most enlightening. You can go to realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and click on Watch the Interview. That's realradioactive.org, and click on Watch the Interview. God bless you.
Today on Real Radio.
America, I don't know why as a culture, maybe because churches haven't done their jobs, I don't know, but we've become so self-centered. What's in it for me? What do I get out of this?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Corinthians, written by Paul. Now, the Corinthians, they had their issues, some big ones and some not so big ones. But among these issues was division. Unity is really quite important, you have to admit that. Never, of course, at the expense of divine truth, but once the church agrees on the essentials, then we ought not to major on the minors, as pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs demonstrates in this look at a key section of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's a lesson called One Church Under God.
Lisa and I were cleaning the house this week. I think the table should be here. I think it should be over here. Honestly, the answer should be, why should I care? But we get ourselves involved in things that don't matter most of the time. And you think about that in our relationships as a church. Well, you know what? I don't like these screens here. Who cares? The young people put them up. I don't care. How come you don't have a pulpit? You used to have a pulpit. You know what? I didn't like a pulpit because I felt like I was locked behind the pulpit. I want to be out here. You say, well, I don't like it. So I didn't ask you. Love ya. Didn't ask ya. I don't like the I don't like the separation. I'd rather be sitting down there, to be honest with you, personally. But can't do that, I guess. I don't know. Maybe we will. But it's interesting because Paul uses this word division, and it's much more serious. We get the word schism. You ever heard that word? That's a Greek word. You know Greek. It's schism. It means there's a gap. There's a void. There's a rending of the garment or the breaking of the bone. When you have divisions among you as a church, you break the bone in the body. And think about churches all around the world that have broken bones because somebody just won't back off of an issue, or they won't calm down about the color of the carpet or about this thing or that thing, and they'll die on an anthill for something. When the kingdom of God is before us, the church is to be, and how beautiful it is that the brethren dwell together in unity, the church is to be an amazing powerhouse moving in the same direction. And that's a miracle. Let's agree, it's a miracle. I got to tell you, in a church this size, it is amazing because we can make an announcement about reaching some part of the world, and we can make an announcement about saving babies from abortion. We can make the next announcement about encouraging you to run for political office. And a church this size, you know how cool it is? We'll have 25 people for each item, issue. Yes, I'm signing up. And that's fantastic. But listen, each of them have a passion. And that's the body of Christ. The danger is when we become so confident, or I should say arrogant, that we begin to criticize one another's area of passion.
Somebody might say, well, we're going to go to the mission field. We're going to go to this part of the world. And somebody else who could care less will say, you know, I don't know why you're doing that. You should join me with the Mexico construction team or whatever, or feeding the homeless in L.A. That's your thing. That's how the body comes together. You should celebrate those things rather than attack them. It's very, very important. Thirdly, it's this: we're united on a mission. A united church will have the same Lord in the sense that we are united on a mission. And he says in verse 10, near the end, he says, in the same mind, we're to be together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The mind is this. The word means the same understanding, the same feel. We would say harmony. It's the same thought of mind. Not to create a bunch of robots, but to be thinking in the same vein of thought. How do we do that? Church, listen carefully. It is impossible for this church to accomplish anything for the glory of God unless we have a common mission. And that common mission, first of all, must be to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He will exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, it's to preach the gospel here and to the ends of the earth. And that's, think about that declaration, Matthew chapter 28, beginning of verse 19. Think about that. If you are determined to do that, every one of us in this room says, I will obey God in this, and I'm going to do this very thing. Imagine this. That means that you are going to be concerned for your neighbor, and some of you are going to be concerned about the man in the deepest, darkest jungles of South America. It all accomplishes the same thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a common, collective mission, and we are united on that. How does that happen? Because we have the same Lord. Can someone say amen? It's the same Lord that we follow. More on that in a moment. Paul says to the church at Rome in chapter 12, verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Isn't this great? Think about it. Man, do we need this like never before? Everybody in this room should know enough Bible and get more and more Bible that we should be thinking the same way toward one another. And this is fun. It gets real quiet. Did you know in this church there are murderers who have done their time and they got out? In this room? Right now. How do you know, Pastor? Because I know. There are people in this room with past lives that if you knew, you would run. What's funny is, if they knew about your past life, they would run. The early church was like this. There was a prostitute in one seat and an IRS agent in the other seat. We know this to be a fact. The Bible says that there were tax collectors, publicans, and sinners all in the same church. Think about that. Here's the cool part. We're to look at one another now with Jesus' glasses on. That's how we look at each other. We have more police officers and agents that attend this church than probably most cities have as police officers and agents. And the world that they live in, that's a tough world, because you know what? It's like a doctor. Who does a doctor see? Sick people. If you're in law enforcement, who do you see? Lawbreakers, bad guys. In my calling, everybody's marriage is falling apart. In my calling, every parent is saying their kid is not having sex with that other kid. Not my kid. Yeah, well, I got to tell you, she told us last week that she, you need to know. Not my kid. Oh, yeah. And you begin to think you can get tainted. And it's a very dangerous thing. So that everybody's bad, or everybody's messing up, or everybody, and as a Christian, you and I are to look at each other in Christ Jesus. We're to look at one another and expect the best, hope for the best, love them, put up with them, endure. Do that love thing on them. That's what he's called us to do, and frankly, that's what he does to us. It's pretty encouraging. But we're on mission. And that mission is to exalt Jesus Christ. Again, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he says in Philippians 2:4, he says, let each one of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What a tremendous statement. Point number two is a united church will share the same vision. That's understandable. If we have the same Lord, we're going to be sharing the same vision. You see, what does vision mean? A lot of people talk about vision. Even companies today, they've used that. They've taken it from the church, and they'll ask you, if you go to, you're going to interview by a company, they're going to ask you something like this. What is your mission? Or you ask the company, what is the mission of this company? Where'd they get that from? They got it from the church. They might not use the word mission. They might use the word vision. What is the vision of this corporation? They got that from the church. Why? Because the church is supposed to have vision. But you can't have vision if you have division. No vision, no division. You have division, you ain't going to have any vision. Because you can't look above or beyond other people. You're focused on the problems. And the church at Corinth was focused on the other guy's problem, but nobody would focus on their own problem. You know the old saying, I don't know who said it, but you know, if you point at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back. Well, okay, but there's a lot of truth to that. I have found in my life, if you know someone who points out faults all the time, they got more faults than the faults they're pointing out in people. Have you noticed that? Oh, man. Well, a church united has a shared vision, and the vision is united for him. It's for his glory. Verse 11, for it has been declared, Paul says, it's been declared to me. That's a term, it's been revealed. There's evidence. It's overwhelming. You've been indicted, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. This word is quarrels, arguments, and fighting, bickering. They're split. The bones are broken as a church. They gossip and complain about others in the body of Christ. They argue, they debate, they strive. The word means to wrangle. I don't know. That sounds like a problem, doesn't it? Man, that guy's just wrangling on about that person's fault and this person's problem. And no, listen, our vision is united for him. Not to go after somebody. That's not our place. It's not our position. James tells us, listen to this verse. James tells us in chapter 4, verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The word resist or resist the proud means to stick out the chest. You watch a football game, and you watch those linemen defend the quarterback. Those guys are huge. That's the word. God resists the proud. Trust me, my friend. You need to be humble because God's chest is bigger than your chest. He'll stick out the chest to withhold you. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Wow. Our vision is united for Jesus as a church. Listen, we need to stop thinking about what's in it for us. America, I don't know why as a culture, maybe because churches haven't done their jobs, I don't know. But we've become so self-centered. What's in it for me? What do I get out of this? You guys, the world we're living in, everything's, watch the new, the commercials. Everything's about investment. Guard your investments. Did you invest in your home? Are you looking at your home as an investment? You shouldn't. Buy gold. Are you sick of that as I am? You hear that? That's the sound of gold. Can you see? These guys crack me up. And the Bible says in the last days, men will gather gold in order to prevent themselves against the last days. The Bible warns. Guess what you say? What's the deal? Well, Pastor, what should I be buying? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. You should be buying wheat. The Bible says in the last days, you can't eat gold. And look at it's so cool. Well, try to eat it because the Bible says food's going to be the hot commodity. But everything's about gold. And it just cracks me up. wait a minute, if my TV is warning me that we're in the last days, shouldn't it be all about Jesus and us getting the word out? And you can throw 1,000 tons of gold on your neighbor's front yard. They're still going to hell without Jesus. He'll just be the richest guy in hell, that's all. Give him Jesus. Well, I don't know. But these crazies are on TV. Gold, gold, you gotta play gold, more gold. Like Daffy Duck and the little gold. Sheesh. If we were so passionate about Jesus, it's amazing to me. Also, this verse 12 teaches us that our vision is united around him. Oh boy, here's where Paul takes the gloves off. Ushers, lock the doors. Here we go. Paul says, verse 12, here's the problem. This is one of the cancers at Corinth. Now I say this, another Paul is saying, listen up. Each of you say, I'm of Paul, or I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ. Stop right there. Those are personality cults. This is not a good thing. You say, well, yeah, but what about the guys who say I'm of Christ? They're the worst of the whole bunch. Because this, you know what he's talking about? In one church in the city of Corinth in Greece, there was over here in this group, hey, we're of Paul. They had their little thing, Paul. We're the group of Paul. This group, Apollos. Cephas is the Hebrew way of saying Peter. We're more legalistic than all the rest of you guys. We're really right on. Yeah, we're born again, but we keep the law. And then we're of Christ. The ones who were of Christ, they were the super saints at Corinth. We're not like any of those losers. We're super believers. It sounds cute on paper. It's a bad deal. And you know what Paul says about that? What he says about personality cults? They destroy churches. Listen, beware of any man or woman who tries to usurp authority over your life in a spiritual setting. When they have to tell you, I'm called by God to tell you. Church, listen, have you ever had anybody come up and say, the Lord told me to tell you? Excuse me. See these? My heart's open. I love the Lord. He can tell me himself. Right? Amen. I'm not going to tell you this stuff I've heard from people. The Lord told me, I don't know why, Pastor Jacob, I'm supposed to tell you this. But the Lord told me to tell you, and I can't even repeat the stuff I've heard. Listen. Anybody usurping authority, they're breeding a personality cult. If anybody says, well, you know, you really can't make it without me, they are a cult. It's all about Jesus. It's all about this church here right now, this place, pointing you to Christ. God sees to it here. He makes me look like an idiot most of the time. Why? So that you look at Christ. You say, look at me, and they're like, what a whack nut. We need to follow Jesus. Keep your eyes. But it's human nature. Listen. Oh, this is going to burn. Are you ready? Here it comes. When we're carnal and we have little faith, if any, we gravitate toward people. Even the church has its superstars, and it's an abomination to God. Pastors should not pull up, and servants of the Lord should not pull up in limousines with paparazzi flashbulbs and be escorted in on a red carpet. Is there a place to show respect, love, and honor? Yes, but to exalt a person is a personality cult. Oh, we're of Paul. That made him sick. And by the way, listen, I know some superstars in Christianity, and they're shocked to hear about themselves. They what? It's what? They printed this about me? Oh, I didn't know I was, wow, I'm impressed with me, and I know me, and I'm not impressed. I love those guys. But then there's loonies who read their own propaganda and think there's something. Danger. The Bible warns us that in the last days, nuts will come. And they'll come out of the pulpit. Then they'll come around religious spiritual gatherings, and they'll say, you know, follow me, I'll show you the real, real, super, super, only way. Watch out. Be careful. And so as they make these statements, it offends the Holy Spirit. Personality cults, things like this. I'm of Paul. Well, let me ask you this. What happens if Apollos showed up where Paul was supposed to be? I'm not going. It's Apollos. I'm like Paul. I'm going, forget it. You know that happens. You know that happens in every church. People will say, Pastor Jack, how come you never tell us when you're gone? Well, first of all, because I'm not stupid. And who's in here anyway? I could say I'm gone, and there could be some robber sitting in the church. He could go to my house. Why would I say, hey, got the door unlocked. I'm going to be gone for a week. You don't say that thing. And another thing, the reason why you don't say it, some people say, well, you're going to be gone next Sunday? I'm not going to be gone next Sunday. Oh, because if you're going to be gone next Sunday, I'm not going to come. Are you a Corinthian? Well, I don't really get much out of that other person. Stop looking at him and listen. It's the content, not the personality. Think about that for a moment. Well, you know, it's wrong. Who's going to speak? What? Who's in the conference? What? Forget who's in the conference. It's the content. It's what they're delivering. Well, I'm of Apollos. They were the brains, the intellects. I'm of Paul. He reaches the Gentile. I like that. I'm of Cephas. I'm kind of legalistic, and Peter leans in my direction. I like him. Or I'm of Christ. I'm better than all you guys. Wow, that's dangerous, don't you think? Well, you know, Pastor, I'm just visiting here today because I'm, you see, I'm a assembly of God. Well, just know this. The guy 3 feet from you, he's a Baptist. Think about if we, well, you know, what if we all had that attitude? It's Corinthian. Guess what? There ain't going to be any Calvary Chapel people in heaven. What? There ain't going to be, everybody runs out. No. There ain't going to be any Baptist, no Lutheran, no Methodist, no Assembly of God. There's going to be one people in the body of Christ who love and follow Jesus. Okay, outside of that, good luck.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio in a study called One Church Under God. It's a look at verses 10 through 17 in chapter 1 of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We call this lesson One Church Under God. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, as you know, Election Day is just days away now, and here on Real Radio, we've been addressing that to some extent, and the main takeaway is that believers are to vote their worldview. Worldview is key. In fact, elections themselves are battles of worldviews, if you think about it. The Judeo-Christian worldview is that human life is valuable, quite simply because we are created in the image of God. And so Pastor Jack has delivered a message called Politics and Faith, Why Defending the Preborn Matters. And here's our offer. A DVD version of Politics and Faith, Why Defending the Preborn Matters is yours for a gift of any amount in support of Real Radio. Now, this is, of course, a time-sensitive matter as the election looms near, if you will. So whether you click or call or write, just be sure to mention it by name. Politics and Faith, Why Defending the Preborn Matters. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And just click the banner that says Politics and Faith, Why Defending the Preborn Matters. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, 877-RR-RADIO. Again, that's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like to write to us, send your gift, which, by the way, is tax deductible, to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.